broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't give a damn about my music, and I don't give a damn about you spending
another... No, Omache expressed this kind of contempt, ugness to it.
Do you think he's anti-Semitic?
I think he's an...
When somebody says to the cop, a police officer...
When stubborn inequality still persist in education and health...
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And brother, this is where truth is our bitch. And we'll go anywhere, through the looking glass and beyond. Beyond the actual constraints of what real radio or some people think real radio is, man. I guarantee you listen to this show and there's some nights you don't know whether you're hearing a radio show, whether you've tapped into a party line, whether the CIA put implants in your fillings. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com right now with live streaming audio and video of our show. Downloads available of every single show, an archive to match none or none that match it or something like that. 15 years of archived material. We got it all there at philhendryshow.com. That's the only place, the only adjunct, the only official website of the Phil Hendry Show, and it's worth it because you'll never, ever, ever really get a full taste of this radio show unless you're over there. All right, we've got a number of things to do tonight. We have a As You Like to Hear Them with Mel Gibson. We have a Vernon Dozier, who is a Little League coach whose team was just eliminated from the first round of the Little League playoffs for the United States for the World Series of Little League. And it's an interesting world, the world of Little League. And it's a fascinating world, the world of this road to the Little League World Series. And we just had a story from back east where a father punched out his son and the fans are going nuts. I mean, it's baseball. So we're going to get into that world. Right now we have Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me from the Dicklin Syndicate hanging on to talk with us about this very disturbing audio, very, very disturbing audio featuring the actor and writer and producer and director Mel Gibson threatening to kill his ex-girlfriend Oksana Grigorieva during a terrifying tape conversation. This was leaked and obtained by RadarOnline.com. Actor Mel Gibson not only admits to hitting the mother of his 8-month-old daughter, Lushie, he also threatens ex-girlfriend Oksana Grigorieva's life twice in these recordings. The arguments appear to be over Gibson's perception that Grigorieva is not a good girlfriend and is, quote, sucking him dry. Here is the first of five clips we have. Mel Gibson is seemingly angry that Grigorieva is not a good girlfriend in this clip.
I don't give a damn about my music, and I don't give a damn about you spending another penny.
Wait a minute. Let's go to cut number one. Sorry.
Stay on this phone and don't hang up for me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will. So just listen to me. Listen to my ranting. Listen to what you do to me.
I didn't do anything to you. You are ruining my life.
You make my life so difficult.
Well, you know what? It's
you'll be a woman that supports me instead of a woman that sucks off me. And just sucks me dry. And wants. Get out of this relationship if you're a good woman and you love me. I don't believe you anymore.
What did he say?
Get out of your has any relationship ever worked with you?
Whoa. Here is Mel Gibson getting so worked up he can't breathe.
You have no soul. You can't give a f-. I left my wife because we had no spiritual common ground. You and I have none. Zero. You won't even try.
You just enjoy insulting me. That's all.
All right. In this clip, Gibson doesn't react well when Grigorieva says he needs to be on medication to control his moods.
You need medication.
What?
You need medication.
I need a woman. Not a little girl with a dysfunctional. I need a woman. I don't need medication. You need a bat my side of the head. All right? How about that? You need a doctor. You need a brain transplant.
Now, here Gibson threatens to come over to where Grigoriva is.
Don't hang up on me.
I can't listen to this anymore.
You hang up. I'm coming over there.
I'll call the police.
What?
I'll call the police.
You. I'm coming to my house. You're in my house, honey.
Yes, but you, honey, don't call me, honey. You just call
You're
me.
In my house.
It's...
So I'll call the police and tell them there's someone in my house. How about that?
You can do that. That's fine.
You. I don't involve the police in anything because I stand up for myself. You're weak. You call the cops.
Now, here Gibson allegedly, I didn't hear it, but in this tape, he apparently admits to having hit Grigoriva.
I don't give a damn about my music, and I don't give a damn about you spending another penny. I'm saving her life.
Yeah, well, you're awful angry for this.
You almost killed us. Did you forget?
Last 3 years ago, gravy train.
You were hitting a woman with a child in her hands. You, what kind of man is that? Hitting a woman when she's holding a child in her hand, breaking her teeth twice in the face. What kind of man is that?
No, you're all angry now.
You're going to get to it. You know what?
Sir.
You're going to answer. One day, boy, you're going to answer.
Huh?
Bear.
What? What? What are you threatening?
Nothing, nothing. I'm not the one to threaten.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a rose garden, you. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. You understand that?
So that's Mel Gibson, and that was the tape. We actually auditioned that, Margaret, before we went on the air during our pre-feed with our viewers to our pre-feed. And I don't know if you heard anything.
You know, I did hear a little bit of what you were talking about, Bill, before you went on the air. And I thought that what you were talking about was, I thought it was very sensitive to what Mr. Gibson's going through. But I also thought you were being a little bit presumptuous.
Well, let me tell my audience. I mean, what I was talking about was understanding that kind of anger.
Yes, but what you were saying was that the way you were saying it was that you felt you understood Mel Gibson.
Let me just tell my audience. What I was talking about was I said that I understood that kind of anger, but it doesn't make any. When you get that angry, you no longer have the moral high ground. You can no longer make your point. But I know how I know that kind of anger. He does need medication. There's no question about it.
I know that you're feeling sympathy for him.
And yeah, that's what I feel sympathy for him. I feel more sympathy for her because she was attacked while holding a child. But what I'm trying to say here is that that kind of anger, that kind of rage that some people feel, and in this instance is one man, feeling this rage, and I'm a man who has felt that way. He loses when he loses his temper like that, but I know that he has his reasons for getting angry.
Well, here's my point. I'm not really sure. I think what you're saying is, and I heard you during your pre-show, didn't you say that you and other men watching the pre-feed, you and your listeners, your male listeners.
Some of my male listeners, yeah.
All right. Some of your male listeners, you said you felt that those men were, could relate to Mel Gibson and that they could understand Mel Gibson. And what I was saying to you is, just now, Phil, is you don't understand the pressures that he's under. So while you understand the fact that he gets angry, you don't really understand how much in control he really is there.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I absolutely do.
You understand that I'm not forgiving him and I'm not excusing him. I'm saying I know why he gets angry like that. And
but the mistake you make is when you say, you said you've been angry like that before too. And you also said...
Well, yeah, that's how I feel.
You also said that your listeners, a lot of your male listeners, have been that angry too, didn't you?
I'm assuming that a lot of men listening to me, or at least a lot of men out there, have been that angry as well. Yeah.
Well, that is where I think you make your mistake, because you've never been really as angry as a Mel Gibson, because Mel Gibson or anyone in the kind of high pressure work that he's in, because Mel Gibson is at a different level. Now, this is not to say he's a better man than you.
Don't, but did you understand what I was saying? A man being angry at a woman to the point of that kind of rage, I understand it, but I'm not forgiving it, and I recognize that he needs to put a lid on it, and I recognize that he has need for medication.
No, I know that, but you don't know that how in control he really is there. When you say that you understand that, when you say that other men in your audience understand that, I am trying to tell you, Phil, that no, you don't. You really don't.
What don't I understand?
You don't. This is Mel Gibson. You don't understand that if you were under the same kind of pressure that he's under, it would most likely mean some kind of violence. If you were under that kind of pressure.
You're saying the pressure that. What kind of pressure is he under? I mean, I understand he's a movie maker.
Well, I mean, by God, look at what he does for a living. He makes movies, he produces films. He's responsible for hundreds of billions of dollars. He is responsible for the support of, I don't know, 8 or 9 children, a wife, another woman in his life, another child in his life, I don't know how many pieces of property. This is a very high-pressured existence. If you were under the same pressure that Mel Gibson is under, I'm sure he would appreciate what you're saying about understanding him, but you really don't. And I think that's the message here that men need to get. While you may relate, and I think that's what you're saying, Phil, you're relating. Isn't that what you're saying?
Well, if I say that I'm relating, what's the difference between that and understanding?
You can't understand because you are not him. You can relate to that level of frustration, maybe. But you have never experienced it quite the way Mel Gibson does. If you had, you most likely would be in a jail cell. And I think that that's a very, very important thing to bring up, Phil. I'm not putting down you or your male listeners at all, but I'm saying the pressure that Mel Gibson feels is very, very intense. It is of a very high, I don't know what the word is, it's a rarefied air. It is a very highly calibrated kind of pressure that most men would probably succumb to a violent instinct. And I dare say there would have been a homicide or a double homicide.
So in other words, if I'd been under the same pressure that Mel Gibson was under, I'd kill somebody.
You or a lot of the men listening to you, that doesn't make you a bad man. It means you really can't say, I understand Mel Gibson. You really can't say that.
You're telling me that I can say I relate, but I can't understand. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to communicate to the audience a little bit of, which I don't think there's any out there today, a little bit of, maybe a little bit of sympathy for Mel Gibson. I'm not trying to excuse the guy. He's out of control. He is a complete and total wreck there. But there are reasons why people get that angry.
There are reasons why Mel Gibson gets that angry. There are reasons why Phil Hendry gets as angry as he does. There are reasons why many of the men listening to your program right now, why they get as angry as they do. But you and the men in your audience cannot really relate to Mel Gibson. That's why it's sad, because I believe you when I hear you say that you understand him, that you want to understand him, but you really don't. Mel Gibson is dealing with a lot of anger there that would break most men.
What do you mean break? Are you talking about most men would
most men would succumb to a violent, some violent episode, yes.
Most men?
I dare say any man that is not used to the kind of pressure that Mel Gibson's under, yeah. So that's why you really can't say, I understand Mel Gibson. What he's living through there would break you over its knee. And Phil, you know that I admire you as a man and as a professional. But what Mel Gibson's going through, the very sexy, beautiful model with his baby, sexy, beautiful wife with his children, the multi-million-dollar homes, the multi-million-dollar career, that would break you, it would snap you in half over its knee.
It would snap me in half over with...
With your temperament, yes, and the other men listening.
So we can't really say we relate to Mel Gibson?
No. I don't think so, no.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know. Well, you know, I brought it up during the during our pre-feed that, you know, I understand that kind of anger, but you can't let that happen because you just lose all the moral high ground. You lose everything. And as well he should. But Margaret is saying to me that Mel Gibson, his anger is in a class and a world all its own. And, you know, I don't know what that's like. No man listening to me right now knows what it's like. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we listen to Mel Gibson, is he under some kind of pressure? Is he under some kind of strain? Is he under some kind of onerous emotional pressure that really the general public just cannot relate to and therefore cannot judge? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and, well, that music just goes away, doesn't it, man? It just, boom, it's gone. It's just, boom, it's just gone. Affiliate Spotlight, Cincinnati, WQRT 1160, in Brawley, California, KROP 1300 AM. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line with us, talking with us about Mel Gibson and this latest collection of audio, this latest collection of tapes. That this is all stuff that's getting leaked, and I can't imagine, Ms. Gray, that this is making Mel Gibson very happy.
Well, I don't know whether it bothers him. I think that it is. I think it's material that really is relevant to their custody case. I think Mel knows that when it comes to this sort of thing, the general public is interested in the private lives of the people that they follow, but it's not going to affect. I don't think it's going to affect whether people go see his films.
You don't?
No, not at all.
I mean, you're listening to a guy here. Listen to this guy as he just almost comes unglued, talking here, angry that she's not a good girlfriend.
Stay on this phone and don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will. So just listen to me. Listen to my opinion. Listen to what you do to me.
I didn't do anything to you.
Pain in the ass.
You are ruining my life.
You make my life so difficult.
Well, you know what? It's
you be a woman that supports me instead of a woman that sucks off me. And just sucks me dry. And wants. Get out of this relationship if you're a good woman and you love me.
What?
I don't believe you anymore.
What am I? What did you say?
Get out of your. Has any relationship ever worked with you? No!
I got to laugh at that.
Well, you do have to laugh at it. And that's why I think a lot of people, Mel Gibson fans especially, are going to say that that is Mel Gibson, that is the Road Warrior, that is the Mad Max, and that really is the actor that they have come to know. Now, when you talk about the reality of that anger, Phil, again, the audience knows, I think, in instinctively what I don't. And that is that Mel Gibson is under a lot of pressure.
And all right, he's under a lot of pressure. What I said before, and I'll give our number out here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, because we want to take some phone calls, too, for you, Margaret, on this topic. Mel Gibson, I'm simply saying, I tried to say that I understood that level of anger because I felt that Mel Gibson was a guy who has a wiring problem mentally, you know.
Yes, even though you say you understand, you don't, though. Even though you were saying...
I'm saying that the guy has a mental problem having to do with wiring, and he needs medication.
I know what you think you understand, but as long as you are you, and as long as the men in your audience are the men in your audience, you're never really going to understand Mel Gibson. Not the way you need to if you really want to get what this man is going through. This is a world of pressure that you just don't know. And I appreciated the fact, Phil, that you were trying to be sympathetic, but you're missing the mark by 100 miles.
Missing the mark by 100 miles.
Well, Phil, the point is that he's Mel Gibson. And as angry as you've ever been at a woman, you're not Mel Gibson.
No, but I've been that angry is what I'm saying, and I can't say I understand that.
No, you can't.
Even if there are men out there who've been that angry, they can't say they understand that.
No, they can't, because that kind of pressure that Mel Gibson is under and the pressure that you're under...
Well, you said would break me over its knee.
You would have wound up killing her and the infant. You would have wound up killing an infant.
877-876-PHIL. All right, we'll be back with your phone calls and Margaret Gray here on Mel Gibson, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us. Take some phone calls on the Mel Gibson situation. You know what's tough to relate to, I can understand, is any man getting that angry. And this guy is pissed off here. Mel Gibson, in a series of new tapes that were released by Radar Online, they got a hold of him how, we don't know. He's an angry, angry guy here. Here he is getting so worked up that he has a hard time breathing.
Enjoy insulting me. That's all.
So that guy is, that's an angry guy.
That is an absolutely angry man, Phil. And I don't think you really, when you say you know that kind of anger, what does that mean?
I've been that angry before. I'm not forgiving it. All right.
And when you say that other men in your audience have been that angry before, are you sure you want to speak for them? Because that is the kind of anger that only I think Mel Gibson can handle. And he can handle it. But he needs to be able to handle it his way and not have the general public, talk show hosts and so forth, saying, oh, well, I understand. And
well, don't you think most talk show hosts are taking her side? I mean, I'm not even taking his side. You know.
Well, it sounds to me like you are.
No, I'm not taking his side at all. I'm saying simply that that kind of anger can never be excused, even though I understand where it's coming from.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I'm saying the best thing you can do for Mel Gibson is to let him get through this himself and not pretend like you know what he's going through.
I believe you there, you know, but, you know, I'm not trying to say that that I'm him.
Well, that's good. Of course you're not him. Of course you're not him.
I mean, but the average guy who gets angry at a woman...
They aren't Mel Gibson either, Phil. You are doing serious damage to yourselves and to Mel, when you say, oh, well, the average guy. No, the average guy, Phil, wishes in a lot of ways he had Mel Gibson's situation. He wishes that...
Well, I don't think he wishes that he's got a woman he's got to pay for, another woman he's got to pay for, all kinds of community property to split up.
What does the average guy know about that, having enough money to deal with that? That's what I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't want to get into that. I don't know what the hell the guy's got. Here is Spencer in Los Angeles listening to KTLK. Spencer, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi. How you doing? I just want to
good,
say
sir.
That I agree and I do understand Mel Gibson. I'll take his side. Any real man that's ever been in love and cared about his woman and his own woman only, when he feels betrayed, not cared for, disrespected, that rage will drive him insane. He's not a bad man. If he was, he'd have done this before.
Well, he needs medication. I think we all know that.
No, all of America is medicated. We teach our people now that we need to be medicated, and that's not true. We need to learn to stand on our feet and be human beings again.
Have you been to the Olympics? You've seen the Olympics, haven't you? You've been to the track and field?
Sure I have. That has nothing to do with Mel Gibson.
Hold on. Do you know the event where they throw the hammer?
Yes.
Can you imagine that same thing done to an infant? Because that is the kind of rage that that man is expressing there.
Doing what?
Throwing an infant like a hammer.
Throwing an infant like a hammer?
That's right. This conversation has nothing to do with an infant, a hammer, the Olympics, or anything else. This is about
that
Mel Gibson.
That is what Mel Gibson would do to that
mama.
Baby.
No, you just said that Mel Gibson wouldn't. I'm talking to the lady now here, Spencer.
The lady.
I mean, Margaret, I'm talking to you. You just said to me that Mel Gibson can handle this kind of pressure. Me, Phil Hendry, I can't.
You, Spencer, I don't think the average man can handle the kind of pressure that Mel Gibson is living under.
There's no such thing as the average man, and there's plenty of men out there that's been in this situation with that type of pressure, and they never made it to the radio or to the media simply because they aren't Mel Gibson. They're just a regular Joe Blow that gets upset, gets angry at their woman, and that's it. My father was that way.
Oh, God, man. Yeah, but it was scary as a kid. Yeah, my dad got that angry, too. But when you're a kid, you hide from it. And then you grow up, and you become just like that.
That's what I'm trying to say. Neither one of you guys knows what Mel is going through. Why do you keep pretending like you do? Mel, Bill, I didn't mean to say that Mel was going to throw that infant like a hammer. I meant you would.
Who
and
would?
Spencer would.
No, I wouldn't.
Spencer would.
No, I wouldn't. I've been there.
Yes, you would.
What are you talking about?
You know the hardest thing for a man to do is to walk away from a woman that he's in love with?
That takes courage. That takes strength.
You know what, Margaret? Margaret, your interrupting is going to cause that kind of rage that you say Mel Gibson's capable of.
You're going to get that angry at me?
I'm saying that you don't shut up and listen. And this gentleman is talking.
You accuse Mel Gibson of throwing a baby like a hammer.
You brought it up.
No, you said that.
I said that that's what the two of you would do.
No, you don't
and
even
I think,
know
you know
me,
something.
Let alone knowing Mel Gibson. How could you say that about me?
Because
it takes a real strong man to walk away.
I know the pressure Mel Gibson's under.
How
it
would you know that?
Half
you
a man.
Did you throw a hammer? Did you throw a baby?
Yeah, I threw a baby, all right.
Well, then
I
you
threw
know
one.
How
eight,
to talk
8 pounds, 20 ounce. 8 pounds, 20 ounce.
I didn't say bring one into the world. You said throw one.
Darling.
All right, look at Spencer, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Do you understand what I'm saying? You brought up the hammer throw.
I'm saying that's what an average man would have done with that kid. An average man, Phil, would have awakened with a ripped T-shirt and blood all over his mouth. And a baby somewhere hundreds of yards away. You don't know what you would do. Mel Gibson was in control, as frightening as it sounds.
No, he wasn't. And I'm telling you, I know that kind of anger. No, he wasn't. Courtney in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Courtney, go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. I was just listening to your show, and as a woman, as a woman's point of view, I can kind of sympathize with Mel Gibson because I've had anger in that situation, too. You know, I think anybody can relate to anger. It doesn't matter if you're an actor or what.
With who? Anger with who?
Hello?
My wife? Hello? You there?
Yes.
Hi, this is Margaret.
Margaret.
Have you ever seen the hammer throw?
Have I ever what?
Seen the hammer throw in the Olympics.
I guess my phone's messed up. I guess I need to hang up.
Yeah, I'm asking, have you ever... You've watched football before, haven't you, Courtney?
I've been angry, and I've never been hit before, ever.
Have you ever watched football? Have you watched football?
What are you
asking? Have I hit?
Have you watched football? Good God, is she deaf? Have you watched football?
All right, never mind. Courtney, dear, I know that you're traveling, and I know you probably have a very tough phone to listen on. 877-876-PHIL. What are you asking her?
I wanted to know if she'd ever watched football before, and I wanted to know if she ever saw the quick release of Dan Marino. And then I wanted to know if she could imagine, instead of a football in Dan Marino's hands, a baby. What does it take to get you people to understand?
Are you out of your mind or something? Are you trying? What do you mean quick release? Suddenly we've got an infant being thrown down the field, being slung down the field, and this is all something that I would do, that my male listeners would do, but Mel Gibson would not do because he knows how to handle that kind of pressure. Are you telling me that this guy here, Margaret, And I don't want you to say anything, okay?
Phil.
No, I don't want you to say anything. Listen, are you telling me that this man here can handle the kind of pressure you're talking about?
You need medication.
What?
You need medication.
I need a woman!
Don't be melodramatic, Phil.
I need
melodramatic.
A woman! I don't need medication. You need a bat in the side of the head.
Wow.
How about that? You need a doctor. You need a brain transplant.
He just said she needs a bat to the side of the head.
No, he was talking about what the average man would do with that infant.
He said you need a bat to the side of the head.
Yes, an average man would do that. He would throw the infant in the air as if he's playing three flies up and swing on it. That's what he's saying, Phil, and that's what he is saying he wouldn't do. But you would. You, under that kind of pressure. And
you know what? What I'm getting from you is I should never become as successful as Mel Gibson because I would kill an infant.
If you had a supermodel for a girlfriend and you had an ex-wife with eight kids, yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to Kurt. I think it's Kurt in Nashville. Kurt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Phil, I don't know where you got this woman from.
She is it Cut? What? How do you pronounce your name?
Cut, C-U-T-T.
Go ahead, sir.
This woman is insane. Mel Gibson is under no more pressure than any other guy that's trying to deal with baby's mama, an ex-wife.
Wait a minute. Do you have multiple pieces of property? Do you have multiple pieces of property?
That's not the point.
Yes, it is. Because that is financial.
Mel Gibson is under no more pressure than anyone else in the same situation. Okay? He's just throwing a temper tantrum. He's trying to control the woman by telling her what to wear, the whole nine yards. Yes, you might have made him mad, but you're making excuses for Mel Gibson. I mean, he's been doing this for how long? He was with the wife and had how many kids? So
He's having a temper tantrum. Mr. Hendry, though, are you trying to say that you relate to that? Mr. Hendry can't relate to that.
I'm just simply saying that I understood the man's anger. A lot of guys have been angry that way. Okay.
Yeah, but you're trying to make it sound like, oh, I get it. I know where he's coming from. No, you don't. When's the last time you had a supermodel? When's the last time either one of you guys had a supermodel for a girlfriend?
What? I don't understand.
What's that got to do with anything? I mean,
because that's pressure, brother. That's pressure.
That's pressure, huh? Why? Because
that? Oh, it isn't.
No,
you wouldn't. You wouldn't throw a child out into the middle of the freeway to keep her?
Hell no.
Good God Almighty. What are you talking about now?
I'm asking a very good question. Would you take that infant that she had, that baby, that she had with you, in order to keep yourself that supermodel, wouldn't you just slide that kid out into the...
No, go ahead. Slide it.
Wouldn't you slide that child out into the slow lane?
877-876-PHIL. I won't dignify that. I'm sorry. I will not dignify that with an answer. 877-876-PHIL. To keep a supermodel who... I can honestly tell you that. Maybe it's my age. Maybe it's what I've been through in my life. Maybe it's a lot of things. To keep a supermodel, I wouldn't slide anything out to anything. I wouldn't play a game of shuffleboard in the worst bar in town. Slide a baby out into the slow lane. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line, and we're talking about Mel Gibson and this new series of tapes from Radar Online. I say from Radar Online. The point is that these tapes have been leaked, and they have been available to the press. Isn't that a little unfair?
Well, Phil, I think, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Is it unfair? It's a good question. Mel has been through things like this before. The drunk driving that you referenced during the pre-feed. He has been through some embarrassing things. There is no question that he's an angry man. There is no question that occasionally he blurts out the N-word, or he calls a Mexican you-know-what, or he calls the Chinese something. This is Mel Gibson, but let's look at the other side of this. This is the man that gave us quite possibly the most powerful film ever made, The Passions of the Christ. The entire script is done in I don't know what it was. It was in Greek. Wasn't it Greek?
It was in the Aramaic, I think, the original language of the people of Palestine. I understand the guy's, genius.
So the point is that he is a very creative man. As creative as you are, you'll never be as creative as Mel Gibson. And so the pressure he's under, and then when you get this eye-candy Russian model with all of the accoutrement that comes with having the Russian model, the Mel, you, I love you, Mel, you know, and she speaks with the accent, and it's exciting for about 5 minutes, and then it wears very thin very quickly. And when she starts to nag, and when she starts to yak and yap, and stands there now not only nagging, but with that downtrodden Russian, that Russian refugee downtrodden look, holding the baby. Mel Gibson is looking, you were talking about 1941, Operation Barbarossa, that's what he's looking at.
He's looking at what?
He's looking at someone standing at the edge of a pit. Okay?
Boy, you know something? And you defend this guy.
I know his spirit.
You just compared him to an SS ready to shoot some Russian.
I know the pressure he's under.
Oh, okay. So it's all right for him to see a girlfriend as a Russian peasant standing at the edge of a pit.
Holding a baby, yes.
Holding a baby. You feel good about that.
Bill, Hollywood has a long tradition.
Oh, don't give me the Hollywood bull crap. People are tired. In Fresno, California. Franz, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I think your guest might need some medication.
Oh, that's a good one. What else you got?
Well, this analogy of the
baby is completely
ridiculous.
Oh, that's a better opening line than your guest may need medication.
Well, I mean, the reality is Mel Gibson is a man when you boil down to it. Everybody feels the pressure in a different way.
His name is Gibson, not Ginson.
He said
yes,
Gibson.
I said Gibson.
Well, do you have an accent or something?
No. What I'm saying, Mark, is every man deals with stress in a different way. It just so happens he's dealing with his issues like every other man. He is not special or different. He's just dealing with frustration and anger.
Well, I don't know. I'm telling you that he is a man who is in a line of business that's a very high-pressure line of business, and I don't think that you or Phil or anyone else can say you understand what it is he's going through. Now, he's got this woman, he's got this other woman, he's got this career. He's got a lot going on, and he has a drinking problem on top of it.
All right, well, that's something that he ought to get under control then and not stand there and excuse this guy's behavior because, what, he's got a drinking problem? You know, because he's...
We know there is something biochemically wrong with him. We know that Mel Gibson needs help.
All right, he may need help, but the first thing that needs to be done here is that girl needs to be protected from him, because if he's on the other end of a phone threatening her while she's holding a baby, as she said, screaming like a bloody maniac. You heard this guy. We also, by the way, I guess you're happy to know that Mel Gibson has been defended here by Whoopi Goldberg on The View. Why don't we listen to that, Margaret, just so you can get a good whiff.
I don't like what he did here, but I know Mel, and I know he's not a racist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. He may be a bonehead.
Well, that language certainly sounds racist to me.
Well, again...
Behar is a Jew.
Shut up.
I just want to clear
the point that I want to
really
make out.
Let me finish this, please.
Okay.
Is that you can say he's being a bonehead,
an anus.
But I can't sit and say that he's a racist, having spent time with him in my house with my kids. I can't say it. And so I really just need to say that.
Okay.
You know, okay. I don't like what he's done. Make no mistake.
All right.
Well, didn't you say the other day that you used the N-word, too?
I have when I was angry, yeah.
So, Whoopi's right.
I didn't call the guy a racist. I said the guy's got issues, and he's got a mental problem.
Well, you know something, Phil? There's a song that was done by the Animals, and I don't know how much time you have.
We don't have a lot of time.
Well, let me just remind your audience of this one. And this is Mel Gibson. Do-do-do-do-do-do. You know the song. Hold on. 2, 3, 4. Do-do-do-do-do-do. And then he goes, baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little glad. And sometimes, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, when things go wrong, I seem to be mad. And then he says, and I'm just a soul. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah, here he goes. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know that song?
Not that one, no.
Oh, not that one, no. No, you know a better one, right?
Yeah, I do. I know the one the Animals did, yeah. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier next, I think, or somebody. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.